Psalm 119, verse 65 to 75, and then later on, Psalm 34, verse 17 to verse 19. All right, Psalm 119, read verse 65. You have dwelt with me, with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statute. The proud forge a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statute. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. 73. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding, that I may learn your commandment. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hope in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. And then the next verse, passage is Psalm 34. I read from verse 17 to verse 19. Verse 17 says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them all or out of their trouble. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I know that I've been struggling when I prepare this sermon, and that I know that you have a purpose, Lord, in delivering this word. I know, Father, as this word is delivered, you'll give us the grace and the strength, Lord, to go through whatever circumstances that we are facing. And so I entrust, Lord, myself to you, that you speak through me. You anoint the people to hear and anoint your servant here to speak. That the grace of God, the word, Lord of God, will become a strength, an inner strength in their life. And so I commit this morning a sermon to you and ask that Christ and the Father be glorified. In Jesus' most precious name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Like, every week, I try to prepare a sermon. And then as I prepare on the particular subject, you know, I was sensing in my spirit. And this week, I know I've been speaking on subjects which are perhaps pointing to perilous times to come. And this week, I tried to steer myself away from this kind of topic. But I sense that when I try to go into other subjects area, I don't sense the anointing. You know, when you prepare the sermon, you pray, yeah, you sense that there's some leading in the spirit. Each time when you try to do something that that is not in alignment with God's will, you find that you don't have the anointing and you cannot carry on. You keep trying, you can't. So I have to come back to this particular subject. And the subject is knowing God deeper through our affliction. And for that, I have to speak from the book of Psalms. Now, in our life journey, we have many life encounters, both mountain top experiences as well as valley experiences. And during our mountain top experiences, we experience positive emotions of love, joy, happiness, jubilation, and excitement. And it normally gives rise to the spontaneous psalms of praise, hallelujah, and thanksgiving. And conversely, when we go through the valleys of discouragement and affliction and trouble, we experience negative emotions of grief, fear, loneliness, guilt, worry, anger, sorrow, or doubts. And both types of experiences have the potential of knowing God deeper and more intimately if we respond in a positive way. And so today I want to focus on the afflictions of the saints. Afflictions means trouble, problems, or any difficult or painful situation or circumstances. Excuse me, I'm going to change my microphone. And the main text today is taken from Psalm 119, with the secondary text taken from Psalm 34. And Psalm 119 is the longest psalm. It focuses on the vital ministry of God's Word in the inner life of the believers. And how, through our different emotional experiences, it enables a child of God to know God and His Word experientially. Thereby we grow in maturity and in holiness. And whether we like it or not, affliction will come. Troubles are a fact of life in the fallen world. It is not a matter of if affliction will come, but when affliction comes. We all know that even if we try our best to take some of the preventive measures to avoid affliction, but afflictions still have a way of cropping up. And afflictions come in different forms, shapes, and sizes. An affliction can be a small or a major sickness, the loss of a job or a loved one, persecution or financial hardship, or trouble created by our enemies or other people. Or affliction could be a sort of severe suffering, like what Job experienced in the Bible. Now, we don't look for affliction, but it has a way of finding and getting us. And sometimes our afflictions come because we do foolish things. At other times, we suffer because we live in a fallen world where disease spread, natural disaster happen. For example, hurricanes, earthquakes, storms, tsunami, just to name a few. And worse still, sometimes we suffer not because we do wrong, but because we do right. And some people don't like it, and they start to make life difficult for you. And so being good and righteous isn't a guarantee that you won't have problems. In fact, Psalm 34 verse 19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them all." And most of us probably like the second part about this deliverance. But the sermon today is mostly about the first part, the many afflictions that Christians suffer. Devastating things happen to people all the time, but not all are destroyed by them. So what accounts for the different results and the outcome? The answer lies in the choices that one makes when faced with a difficult situation. And so my point number one is this: our afflictions do not destroy us, but our wrong responses to them can. In other words, it's not what happens to us that matters, it's how we respond that makes the difference. More importantly, is what happens inside you. Do we become bitter or better? Do we become sour, or we come to know the Lord in a deeper way? And the psalm, the writer of the Psalm 119, had a lot to say about trouble. And when we are faced with affliction, it is so easy for all of us to focus on our circumstances and ourselves. And that is the tendency for almost all of us. Now, the three verses of our text remind us that God is intimately involved in your trouble, my trouble.
Nothing happens, no matter how bad it may be, by accident. Your troubles are not about you. Many Christians mistakenly think that in all aspects of their life, it's always about themselves. For example, in other areas, they think that the church is about self. But it's not about self, it's about God. Worship also is not about whether or not we like the music of the song that we sing. Worship is about God. Similarly, your troubles are not about you. Your troubles is about God and how God can be glorified through your affliction. Also, God allows it and He may send them to teach you and I on the things about God we could not have learned any other way except through affliction. And there are three key verses that give us the three progression of affliction. And God uses it to teach us His words and to build our faith so that we can end up closer to Him than we were before our troubles began. Progression number one. Before my affliction, I stray. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, I obey your word. Now, at a cursory glance, this verse may seem to apply only to those who have gone astray into some sort of obvious moral sin. But the word as going astray simply means going our own way. Like what Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, how the sheep have gone astray to his own ways. So here, what it can mean is before affliction came, a Christian may be lukewarm, apathetic, show little interest in God or His word because life was very comfortable. It has lullaby him or her to spiritual slumber and indifference. He may go to church, but not with much interest and conviction. And one just goes through the motion because the prosperity and the comfort of the world had pushed one or has pushed God to the fringe of his life or her life. But the time has come or will come when God wants to change him or her for good. And the change can come very quickly. And there is a thin line between good time and troubled time. And just within 1 minute or a phone call, our life can take a turn, a quick turn. And suddenly we can be faced with unexpected affliction and the storms of life. That's all it takes. Just one phone call or a minute, things are no longer the same. Of course, we live as though in our life, that call or that minute will never come. But it could come at any moment. And when it comes, our house of cards come tumbling down. And some people ask, do you think God can still speak to a disinterested person today? God can speak to anyone, anytime. And through our troubles, He can stop us in our tracks to wake us up from going astray or spiritual slumber. And there was a Bible student, school student, who went to ask a pastor for counsel and for advice. And he said that she had a Christian friend, who persisted in choosing the path of sexual sin. And she's going the path of self-destruction. And she was very concerned for her. And when she talks to her friend and share God's word, her friend would just listen to her passively. And she said that her friend will all say that she will change, but will always go back to her sinful habit again. So she asked, what should I do? And this pastor advised her that besides being friends with her, she had one major way to help. And she should pray that God would do whatever it takes to bring her friends to repentance. If that means affliction, then so be it. And so the point here is for the stray, sometimes you need to pray, Lord, do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes. And after all, most people only pay attention to God when affliction comes. And many times, this pastor had urged Christians to pray like this for their loved ones who are far from God. Lord, do whatever it takes. Hold nothing back. If it must be through pain, then let it be through pain that my loved ones may come to their senses and run back to Christ and make things right with God. It is not easy to pray this way, but this may be the most effective way if we really want the best for the person for eternity. Eternity, I want to emphasize. Pain is God's megaphone to awaken a sleeping and an apathetic people. Affliction is often God's method of causing one to return back to Him. For those who stray from the Lord, the purpose, of course, is to bring them back to God that they may learn to obey God's word. However, I need to further qualify this. Not all who have been afflicted is because a person has strayed from the Lord. As I said before, a righteous Christian can also be afflicted. And there are so many examples in the Bible. In the Old Testament, Job was afflicted because of the challenge from Satan. And the righteous prophet Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and many other prophets were all afflicted because they stand up for righteousness for the Lord. The three Hebrew lads, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were afflicted because they were faithful to God. And in the New Testament, all the apostles were afflicted because they were zealous and faithful in preaching the gospel. And all died a martyr death. And so was the apostle Paul. And the righteous are not immune to affliction. The purpose of afflictions for the righteous are different from those who stray. As for the righteous, the purpose of affliction are a few. Just to name some of them. One, that their genuine faith be found of praise and glory to God. You can read it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 to verse 9. Second reason, to help them to identify with the afflicted and to minister to them later. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to verse 4. And third reason is to grow a fruit of the Holy Spirit in their life that could not possibly come other way. And fourth is to help them to know God more intimately and deeply. And so the progression number two is the time during the affliction. During my affliction, I learn. It is good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your statue. Many of us would have a hard time saying this. It is good for me to be afflicted. Affliction is always very painful to endure. How could we ever call it good? Yet, this is exactly what the psalmist said about his own suffering. I suppose most Christians would prefer to have the mountaintop Mount of Transfiguration encounter, seeing the spectacular Jesus with Moses and Elijah at his side, and Peter, James, and John felt so good at the mount. And Peter said, it is good for us to be here. He suggested building three tabernacles so that they could stay there to enjoy the spectacle longer. And everybody would like that. There is nothing wrong with being on the mountaintop. We need some of those mountaintop experiences periodically. And the gospel writer Luke make a Holy Spirit inspired remark about Peter's comment at the Mount of Transfiguration. He says that he did not know what he was saying. And in this temporal world, sooner or later, we have to go back to this valley. The mountaintop is a good break from the routine of life, but it will not last forever. You have to go back into this fallen world of pain and affliction, where bad things do sometimes happen to good people. If your God is only a God of good times, or a God, or only a God of mountaintop, then you don't really come to know the many facets of God's character. God's love, grace, mercy, protection, provision, faithfulness, and many other character is often experienced and best seen in your affliction. Not only that, you also see more of your true self during your affliction. The true state of your faith, your trust, and your love for Him is best seen during the darkest moments of your life, not during the good times of mountaintop feeling. Even a dead fish can swim downstream. Affliction is often our best schoolmaster. And there are many spiritual treasures to be gained during times of affliction. And the psalmist declare that passing through the valley of sorrow was good for him, because through it he learned God's word experientially. Until hard time comes, our knowledge of God and His word tends to be rather theoretical. Martin Luther commented that he never fully learned God's word until he was afflicted, and his suffering then became his best schoolmaster. And this is a hard reality that many Christians prefer not to face. It is so natural that we would prefer everything in our life to go smoothly. Just because we don't like those situations doesn't mean that we don't need it to be there. Because God desires to develop something within us. And often we don't know the reason until we go to heaven. And when we bring God into the equation, we look back and see how it was good for us to go through hard times, because we learn things about God and ourselves that we would never have known otherwise. We learn about God. We learn that His ways are not our ways. That His ways are far higher than our ways. That He is holy, all-wise, and full of mercy, and always faithful to His children. We also learn about our true self, that we learn that we are not as strong as we think we are, or as wise, or as powerful, or as smart as we thought we were. And we come to know maybe we don't love God as much as we think. And even the super rich and the powerful will come to know that they are nothing but dust before God. And in the end, we are really helpless children, desperately in need of our Heavenly Father. And so I want to tell you a story of a butterfly to illustrate that affliction and struggle is part of growth. A young boy found a cocoon of a butterfly. And one day a small opening appeared in the cocoon. And he sat and he watched the butterfly for a few hours as he struggled to force his body through the little hole. Then it seems to stop making the progress. And it seems as if the butterfly was struggling and could not go any further. And then the young boy decided to take a small scissor. And then he snipped off the cocoon to make the hole bigger. And the butterfly then emerged easily. But it had a swollen body and a shriveled wings. And the boy continued to watch the butterfly and expected that any moment the butterfly wings would enlarge and expand and fly. But neither of those things happened. And in fact, the butterfly spent the rest of his life crawling around in a swollen body and shriveled wing. It was never able to fly. And he later learned that the butterfly in the cocoon was supposed to struggle. The young boy, in his ignorance and his haste, did not understand that the little hole restriction that caused the butterfly to struggle is actually part of God's design to get it to fly eventually. In fact, the butterfly struggled to push its way to the little tiny opening of the cocoon, actually pushes the fluid out of his body and into the wings. And without the struggle, the butterfly would never ever fly. And the boy's good intention, instead of helping, is actually hurting the butterfly. And as we go through life, keep in mind that struggling is an important part of growth experience. In fact, it is a struggle that causes you to develop your ability to later spiritually fly and overcome. And as you and I look back on those experiences, some of us become aware that God worked in our life to produce the needed change to prop us into higher heights. If we can see it, we can say the same thing as the psalmist said. It was good for me to be afflicted, that God might do this work in me. And so many times, our prayer in times of affliction boils down to four words. God, change my circumstances. While praying like this isn't always wrong, it may not give us a much better outcome. And many may say, Lord, change my marriage situation, or get me out of this pain. Change my boss so that he or she will appreciate me. Get rid of my enemy. Change my financial circumstances so that I can pay my bills. Who among us hasn't prayed along these lines? Most of us do. God may be saying this to you. You change first. God often wants us to change first before He removes our affliction. And perhaps God has not changed your circumstances because He wants to change you first. And after going through the affliction, we then learn of God's word experientially. God's word is no longer a theory in our head. And we come to know that His counsel is always right. And so, progression number three. After my affliction, I know God in my heart, not in my head. I know, O Lord, that Your laws are righteous, and in faithfulness You have afflicted me. The phrase "I know" speaks of settled knowledge of the heart, not in the head. And after we went through the affliction, we often wonder, how could we possibly have gone through the ordeal and survived? God must somehow be in the equation. However, during that time of affliction, we always feel that God is not with us. He has forsaken us and left us alone. And most of us know the poem "Footprints in the Sand" by Mary Powers. Let me read it to you. He says, "One night I dreamed a dream, and I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashes the scene from my life, and from each scene I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one belonging to the Lord. And after the last scenes of my life flashes before me, I look back at the footprints in the sand. I notice that many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest time, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, You said once I decided to follow You, You walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and the most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed You the most, You would leave me. The Lord whispered, My precious child, I love You and I will never leave you. Never, ever, during your trials and testing. And when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." A very touching poem. When times are tough, it's easy for us to say, Lord, this must be a mistake. Somehow, finally, the psalmist can see beyond his current misery. past the pain of the difficult circumstances. The psalmist says, I know, O Lord, your laws are righteous and in faithfulness you have afflicted me. In other words, the psalmist declared that he now knows three things as a result of affliction. One, everything that God says in his word is right. Two, God is faithful even in our trouble. And three, he is involved in everything that happens to us. Though there may be still some unanswered question, he comes to know the hand of a loving and a faithful God who is working in, with, and through his trouble to accomplish God's divine purpose. And in this passage, we can find three levels of faith. The first level is the faith that obeys. It says, now I keep your word. Verse 67. The second level of faith, there is a faith that affirms. It is good for me to be afflicted. The psalmist can say that. Verse 71. And then you come to the third verse. There is a faith that glorifies God. He says that in faithfulness, you afflicted me. Verse 75. And when we reach this third level of faith, we are really saying, I would not change it if I could. Not all of us will come to that point. But God wants us to go higher and deeper in Him. But it is wonderful to look back and declare that God has been proven correct in all that He's done and all the things that happened the way they did. At the end, God has glorified Himself even in our severe affliction. Your trials are meant to lift you from earth to heaven, that you might discover the riches of divine grace in the hardest moments of life. Your affliction is never without a purpose, even though it seems that way right now. Everything has a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify God and to bring us into a closer walk with Him. And so, in conclusion, in view of all this, how should we respond to the afflictions of life? I give you five suggestions. Number one, thank God that He will give you the grace to go through them all. Thank God that He will work all things together for good for those who love God. Then, though you may not understand it all. Number two, remember the poem I just recited to you. Footprints on the sand. God is always with us. You may think that during that period of affliction, God does not seem to be present. And there seems to be only one set of footprints on the sand. And you thought that footprint is yours. But God is saying, my precious child, I love you and I will never leave you, never ever during those afflictions. And when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. And then, third suggestion, go to God's word for comfort. Especially the book of Psalms, and prayed. Everything in Psalm 119 leads to the conclusion of going to God's word. And when you are tempted to run away from the word, it's time to run to it instead. And jump into the Psalms of Lamentation, read it over and over aloud. And when you find it real hard to read, or even to pray, because you are down, or because you are lost for word, then pray in the Holy Spirit, pray in tongues for at least 10 to 15 minutes continuously a day. I want to share with you some of the affliction that I went through just a week or two ago. I was down, and then suddenly, God just prompted me, go and pray in the Spirit. And I pray continuously, 10, 15 minutes, looks like there's no breakthrough. And 20 minutes, no breakthrough. 25 minutes, no breakthrough. And come to 30 minutes, suddenly, my spirit was lifted up. All the oppression that came upon me was, lifted away. And I begin to have faith that one day there will be signs and miracles happening here. When I pray people, there will be electric power flowing through them. There was a faith that arise, and God's word is true. Because He said when you pray in the Holy Spirit, when you pray in tongues, your spirit man will be lifted up. And so I encourage you, whatever you're going through, pray quietly in your private room. Pray in the Holy Spirit. No breakthrough. You pray until breakthrough comes in your inner man. And so I'm speaking from many experiences. This is not theory. This is birth forth from the Holy Spirit. Pray. And if you find it difficult to start praying in tongues, get a brother or sister or pastor to come and pray alongside with you. And if you do that often, your faith will be lifted up and you will come through stronger. Stronger. Fourth suggestion. Declare your faith in God verbally. Because this is the time that the evil one will try to snuff you out. He's an opportunity. When you're down and troubled, he will try to snuff you out. And therefore, you have to proclaim it in the spiritual realm that you continue to believe in God no matter what happens. And you can pray this statement like Job does or did. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Don't say you pray quietly. Pray aloud. Because this statement is powerful. Verbalizing it will cause your spiritual enemy to be shocked. And that he will be eventually be silenced and defeated. Don't give up. Don't give in. And then the fifth thing is testify of God's goodness thereafter. When your learning becomes knowing in the heart, testify and give glory to God. And one reason God help us in our time of trouble is so that after we have gone through it all, we will be equipped to help others in their times of trouble. God comfort us that we might comfort others in the future. And also your affliction will not last forever. Because behind every dark cloud, there is a silver lining. And it brings us back to the central truth. It's not what happens to you that matters. It's how you respond that makes all the difference. And it is what happens inside you. We may not understand some of these perplexed things until we get to heaven. But affliction humbles us. Kill our pride if there's any. Force us to admit our weakness. And drive us to the Savior who alone can help us when all earthly means have failed. And sometimes we will face things for which there is no earthly explanation. And in those moments, say in your heart, quiet, God is at work. Meanwhile, hold on, child of God. Keep believing. Don't quit. Don't give up. Let God do His work in you. And let God fight for you. And the greatest tragedy is respond to the wrong way by complaining, becoming bitter and grumpy. You waste affliction and miss what God wants to teach you through your affliction. Beloved, don't waste your affliction. Let them produce in you the sweet aroma of trust and faith in the Lord. All your affliction are intended to draw you deeper into God and to cause you to say, I am His. And He will bring me through this affliction. And Paul actually said of his affliction, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. The marks of the Lord Jesus. He knows each scar bore an eternal purpose. Galatians 6:17. And may God bring us to the place where we can say what the psalmist said. It was good for me to be afflicted, that I might learn your statute. Amen. The Lord help you all. I hope this word being released will give you the grace to overcome whatever you are facing. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I get the musicians to come forward? Thank you.